from HWR HQ. It's the 282nd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris. I'm trying not to die of salmonella poison, Arnold.
Yes. So, man, we have two pay-per-views coming up all of a sudden now. It seems as though they're taking this whole Greatest Royal Rumble more seriously. But yeah, I guess we got to talk about it. That's this week. It just snuck up on us. If you're watching us live, thank you so much. You can log into your YouTube or Google account, and then that way you can chat along with us. I'll have you pulled up here on the old smartphone. Actually, let me do that now because I had it. And then that way you could interact with us. You could ask us questions, just say hi, talk shit, fact check us, whatever. I'll see it here, and I'll try to incorporate you into the show the best way that I can. And if you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio, or on the Instagram, Houston Wrestling Radio. So that's that. And Chris, what are we going to start off with today?
Let's start with NXT.
What?
First NXT in full sale after WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
What's the first match that comes to your mind when I tell you first takeover after WrestleMania, first NXT episode?
My match of the week pick.
God damn, we're known for pre-jacking here.
I know. That was quick. Match of the week pick. Lars Sullivan versus Killian Dane.
Ew.
I fucking loved it. I think WWE has had a history of Vince loving the big guys, and they are always sticking to a certain style, never leaving your feet, slow and, you know, plodding and, you know, this and that. And it's just not that good. But this match, it kind of showed the new evolution of what a non-Vince heavyweight division could be.
I was about to say, define big guy, like Dave Bautista, Hulk Hogan, or like Bam Bam and Yoko, because your definition of big guy is not what I think of when I see Lars Sullivan or Killian Dane.
Exactly.
In a good way.
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, Bam Bam is the one exception, because Bam Bam was actually agile and did a bunch of stuff. Maybe even Vader. There you go. But like everybody else, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, Hulk Hogan, Big Show, Kane, even Undertaker to a certain extent.
Hulk Hogan in the WWE.
Yeah.
Watch some of his stuff in Japan. You'll be like, what the fuck is this?
If I get that away from the mic.
Nah.
Anyway, this was not that match. When I was watching Lucha Underground, I was always so impressed with Cage, right?
I'm a machine.
Yeah.
Fizzy sodas.
He's this big dude who doesn't act like a big dude, has all these badass moves, who's very agile, very flexible. Thank you. And can remove that too. And can do, you know, all these things that can make him hang with Pentagon and with Puma and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you don't expect that. But that's what I saw in this particular match. This match was like, holy shit, they're really going balls to the wall. And they're being impactful. It's not like they're out there just doing flippy dippy. They're still being a, you know. That's my match of the week pick, guys. You could talk about it. I'll let y'all say stuff. Welcome, Daniel. Thank you for joining us.
I'll make it easy. There's a lot of wrestling, and by default, NXT was a casualty. All right. Just fast forward through stuff that I wanted to see, which was basically the whole Gargano stuff. So I didn't watch this match. Okay. So if you're telling me that I need to go back and watch it, I'll go back and watch it.
I'm interested to know at the time everyone knew that this was Killian Dane's last match in NXT or not,
because
he did give it, you know, a little bit more than the usual. But yeah, it was all right. It was a pretty good match. I wouldn't put it in the category. The match that I would, though, is my match of the week candidate.
Uh-oh.
Richard O'Shea versus Fabian Aichner.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Yes.
God damn, that match was a blast. That match was a blasty blast. It was fun to watch. Ricochet is just, dude, he's got it. I was scared. I was like, he has a different style. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, it was awesome, dude. I want him the fuck away from 205 Live.
Yeah.
I know this is where he's going to go eventually to try to make it great. him and Fabian fucking tore it up. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The moves, the skill set that he, you know, his arsenal that he has, he's using it. You know, it might be a little water.
Some.
Down. Yeah, yeah. We might be a little.
But you're water saving down. That. You don't want to blow your load early in your first match like somebody.
Yeah. So he's saving it, but what he gave us is that little, I got you. Oh, man. Yeah, he's got – and Fabian looked badass, too. He always does. Fabian is like – I wouldn't know what to compare Fabian to, but he's badass in his own little right. He's like Bonatti. He's like he's badass when you need him right there.
Fabian, I really like him, too. I really like this match as well. It's a match that we canned it for me, but I picked the other one simply because
– You're a fan of Fabby's.
No, no, but mostly because that match seemed to have more story and more consequence to it, where this match was just a showcase for Ricochet. Mm-hmm. I already know Ricochet's badass, and Ricochet needs to get a win under his belt, and that's pretty much what he did. Like, I had no fucks to give for Fabian, even though when Fabian and Lars first debuted, I was like, I love both of these guys. But since then, I don't have really many shits to give about Fabian Aichner. I give more shits about Mars. That's really the only reason why. I'm not saying it's a bad match. Yeah. They're both really, really good matches.
I'm actually going to give credit to Fabian here. To the point where you can picture a guy like Ricochet actually succeeding in the WWE.
Yeah.
When you see a lot of Prince Puma in Lucha or King Ricochet in New Japan or in the Indies, the stuff he does, you're like, WWE is going to fuck that shit up. They're going to put Japanese lyrics on his songs. They're going to fuck up his intro. They're going to do all kinds of stupid shit.
Look into that.
Fabian Aichner, I'm glad that the first thing that they teach you at NXT is the straight up fundamentals. That was like a simple straight up like main event from Wrestling Challenge in the 80s.
Yeah.
And made it fucking work. Like, I'm ready to see that both of those guys do that match on Raw and keep me awake through Raw instead of Fast Forward.
Yeah.
That so I liked it a lot. Actually, that's a candidate for me too, and it's high up there. And I was surprised because at first I was surprised because I wasn't expecting the match that we got out of Ricochet.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, this isn't fundamentally sound. Like he's got a core set of moves. He doesn't screw anything up. He upset Almas, and I was like, okay, you have my curiosity. Now with these other matches, he's starting to get my attention. And that's good because NXT, dude, it's easy to drown in NXT under the indie talent like Adam Cole,
Baby.
Ricochet, EC3, War Raiders, all this stuff. So to keep your relevance there so that you understand.
Considering homegrown talent pretty much for the most part, too.
Yeah, and usually NXT is really, really good about that. You don't have straight-up squashes most of the time. Mm-hmm. You did have a straight-up squash with the War Raiders versus these random
Deuce and Dominoes.
Yeah, that was really weird. I'm glad that War Raiders are there. I'm glad that they have, you know, a new gimmick, a new name, I guess you could say.
Well, they had to. Yeah.
Yeah, they had to, so I get it. But I'm cool with it. I love seeing Ray Rowe on there. That was a nice little markout moment for me.
Cool moment was Shayna Baszler in the back, like just punking all the girls.
That was, interesting.
Just like, hey, I'm running this bitch. And it was like Peyton Royce or somebody's somebody's locker.
It was Ember Moon.
Ember Moon. She just like ripped it off and bam. And who has something to say? And Dakota Kai stands up like, I'm just going to throw this water bottle away. That was it. So, yeah, that was kind of cool.
Robert, welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us. Robert says hello from work.
Uh-huh.
He's at work today. So, yes, at the record store.
Are you playing that Greta Van Fleet?
Michael says this. I'm all for women's rights. Proceeds to listen to rap music. Get to that. And Daniel is like going on about all kinds of stuff on here. A lot of things we will touch on, Daniel. So.
There's women deserve equal rights and less.
Part two of the homegrown talent. You know, I smooched over Fabian Aichner now. I love, 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 love the repackaging of the finest. Kona Reeves.
I had to look up who the fuck that guy was.
I didn't recognize him.
Neither did I, and that's the good part.
That's good.
So you don't attach him to him trying to be a wannabe rock in the beginning and just getting squashed out by everybody. This is a brand new dude, brand new gimmick. fresh start. I already know what to expect from the guys that I already like from the indie scene that's there. I like the potential of the homegrown guys like Eichner and now of Okona.
Yeah. Daniel said something that just made me giggle. Vince will put Hanson and Rowe in as a discount demolition S bondage suits.
Like, so?
No, wait, what?
Okay. Not a bad thing.
Whatever it takes to get on the main roster, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. I mean, wasn't that Ascension though? Weren't they discount demolition bondage?
No, they were discount Legion of Doom. Mm. They were great value Legion of Doom. Mm.
I don't care if War Raiders end up being a
Legion
discount.
Legion of Doom was great value demolition.
I don't care if they end up being like great value TNA.
Yeah.
Or
they aren't.
That's not what I meant. How about
Justin Albert?
Yes. Was apparently the Donnie Gargano show, the Mr. and Mrs.
Yes,
Gargano show.
Yes.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up on the promo. Up. Johnny Gargano saying, "Yeah, bitch, what up? It's me."
Yeah.
And Candice Wrestling, she held her own, and I loved watching her wrestle. I'm not an indie mark, so I don't know how good she is. You know, her and Joey Ryan are like badass and all this shit.
Yeah.
I'd never seen her actually wrestle. And, I saw her in the Mae Young Classic, and I was like, "Ooh, it's kind of cool." But this match, from my first time seeing Selena Vega wrestle, I seen her wrestle, it was delightful. It was a very, very, very
good. Yeah, delightful.
It was a very, very good match, dude. Like, they were both, like, there was no greenness from either one. And that's weird because Selena should be green, right? She's not an actual.
They called up these guys to SmackDown. Selena was going to be a big deal in the mm-hmm. women's division for SmackDown. And that's Exhibit A right there. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Love it.
It was good. The match itself, I was thoroughly enjoying it. And that would have been a match of the week candidate for me as well if it wasn't for the fact that I felt like it ended too quickly.
Yeah,
and
it was too super abruptly. Fast and abrupt, yeah.
Yeah. No, like, oh, okay, tap. Okay.
Kind of like a Valgarano's matches.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I understand that it was just all pretty much feel good for the sake of putting over Gargano because Gargano was – starting to get into Sami Zayn territory where he is the perpetual loser.
Yeah.
You know?
If he would have got drafted to SmackDown or Raw, I would have immediately thought of him as Sami Zayn.
Yeah. And I think him beating Tommaso and then also getting a win and having a showcase episode for him, I'm hoping that they're not going to do the same thing that they did with Sami Zayn with this guy where he's all lovable loser, lovable loser, lovable loser, and that's it. Hey, you could be a lovable loser for a while, but once you're over, God damn it, you're over. Do something with them. And I'm hoping, based on this episode of NXT.
Optimistic or pessimistic in that viewpoint, ending the episode, already giving him a title match next week for the title.
I'm optimistic in the character development of Johnny Gargano. I'm a little hesitant about the fact that the match is already going to happen next week, which means tonight.
Yeah.
Which means it already happened like
30 minutes ago or whatever.
Actually happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that. I'm guessing that there's going to be some sort of shenanigans because you can't have a big money match like that just bam on the 2 or 3 weeks after you just have one of your biggest pay-per-views. Hey, but it is NXT. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that there's shenanigans, me and the match doesn't happen, or there's a funny finish or something like that, so that we could build up to something more. Because it makes complete sense for the character of Aleister Black to be like, okay, you want a shot? Here, have a shot. And, like, mm-hmm. that's it. You know, he's not like, you know, the Miz. Oh, you'll do it on my time.
Yeah.
He's not like that. So it makes sense that that happened. And I was kind of somewhat expecting Regal to come out, and Regal going, No. Hold on, guys.
I need to make money off of this.
Yeah, I need time to promote this.
Yeah.
Because didn't he do that before once, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, where he's like, this is a really good match. I'm glad you guys want to wrestle, but I need time to promote this properly. That happened once. I just don't know what match it was.
McIntyre Rude, maybe?
No, before then. Mm-hmm. It was like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I drank since then. KO
78.
Yeah, why not?
That's it for NXT, man.
Daniel says Ciampa's not done with him. He said before takeover, I'm going to take everything from you. He's going to eventually become NXT champion, and then Ciampa will take the title, and maybe Candice costs him the match.
Sure.
Fantasy booking.
Yeah. All right. NXT looks fucking damn good. Yeah. NXT looks bright as fuck.
Do you think Johnny Wrestling is going to be able to translate his overness to the main roster at some point? Not tomorrow, but like some point?
I think so, because it's a different kind of over. It's not a gimmick over. It's more of like a, damn, this dude can wrestle. It's Johnny Wrestling is over. You know what I mean? Sammy was lovable, but and he was a good wrestler, but his character was over. Ty Dillinger's character is over. Tyler Breeze's character is over. Mm-hmm. You got to redo that. Bobby Roode's entrance is over. This dude's wrestling is over.
Hot take? I think this is the first pure babyface based off of everything about him that is as over as anybody else since we've seen Daniel Bryan. He's the most successful, complete, pure babyface.
Which is why it's not going to work.
Ooh!
Daniel Bryan.
Let me have my hot take.
Daniel Bryan's a babyface now, but how did he end up there?
No.
By getting
Nakamura, pure wrestling babyface. You didn't have to care that he didn't speak the language. You didn't have to care that he didn't cut a promo. You didn't have to care that, I don't know, half the shit that he's doing when he is not fighting. But he could beat the fuck out of you. Yep. I like you.
Yeah.
What are they doing right now? You have to play all sides of the Rubik's Cube, man. You can't just fill one color. And right now, Gargano's character, just like Sami Zayn's character, even when he had a chance to give you a little teaser on Raw when he accepted John Cena's open challenge of what his character is, as soon as he came up to full-time from the NXT brand, general audience is like, what the fuck is that guy? Just like everyone that comes from NXT, yeah. We love them because we know that we don't need all the check boxes filled. We just need one really bold. On the main roster, you need to check all the boxes. And before you know it, before you're gone, you're either going to check them all or you're not worth the time.
You don't think Gargano checks all the boxes?
You want to see Gargano as a heel?
It could be interesting. I don't want to see it right now. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
One hopeful thing, everyone has been called up recently, and I heard it on the main event of Raw, the most over right now, and I'm still from the crowd still.
New Carsmill.
Yeah,
2 weeks. We'll see what they do to make me care about what the hell an Ember Moon is on the main roster, because remember, you have to re-brainwash the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need to brainwash the indie fans. We're already dirt. Yeah. Like, you need to do it all over with the main brand.
Mm-hmm.
So you said NXT is looking good. How about Impact?
Impact? I haven't watched Impact. What the hell?
I heard they're hiring.
We're talking about Impact?
Pentagon Jr. Is their new world heavyweight champion. Hijo del Fantasma, who is actually King Cuerno, is on that brand. Phoenix is on that brand.
Drago
is on that brand. Brian Cage is on that brand.
Tessa Blanchard.
Lucha Underground people, though.
Oh.
Taya Valkyrie is on that brand. Johnny Mundo is on that brand. Johnny Impact, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, whatever the fuck. Do enough Lucha Underground characters intrigue you to watch Impact, or does it lose its charm by being out of that, like, universe?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. So right now that you're telling me all this.
Well, now that you know, are you compelled to at least try an episode or two?
I'm interested enough because I like these Lucha Underground guys. So, maybe I will.
But, you know, Drago is like a real-life dragon who spits out fire. Yeah. You
didn't see that in Impact? Exactly. That's where my butt was going to come.
Yeah.
But, well, here was my real butt. But NXT has a real knack of fucking things up. So
NXT doesn't fuck anything up. TNA fucks up.
Bro. Did I say NXT?
I
fucked that up. Wow. How ironic.
Don't worry.
Are you on Impact?
If you're lucky, it glitched and no one will ever hear that.
Yes. Yes. TNA.
What about you? Who does not have the investment that we have?
That and I don't have the channel, so I don't care.
You don't get the channel for TNA? What channel is it?
Pop? I don't know. I don't even know what that is. I know for sure I don't have El Rey, but for Lucha, I used to fucking go to YouTube and watch those matches.
Yeah.
Because and Netflix, because they're fun. See, it is. Like, yeah, it's cool. So we'll see.
Okay.
What if Lucha Underground guys were in NXT?
Shit.
Well, we got fucking, wherever we got sure. Prince Puma there, but that's it. And that's nothing of Prince Puma. That's just Ricochet. That's his alter ego that he did.
All of them at the same time? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Puma? Okay, cool.
Because I don't think Pentagon Jr. is pretty much a Lucha Underground character. That's just him in his entire Mexico run. But that's how I got introduced to him. So I think for me, he would be the exception. Like if he goes to NXT, okay, I'm watching NXT every week religiously. If he goes to Impact, I'm hunting that shit down on the internet, on Pirate Bay, on somewhere. Mm-hmm. But are there any other talents there where you can see them either as themselves and working? Mm-hmm. And they kept Ricochet's old name. You know, they're keeping a lot of the people on Lucha Underground that are on Impact right now. They're keeping a lot of their names.
Yeah.
So
when you're talking about Lucha Underground people that would succeed in NXT. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know.
Phoenix in 205.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pentagon on SmackDown. You need that.
A lot of the stuff is the fact that Pentagon's a real fucking dragon. Yeah. You're not gonna do that on NXT.
Drago.
You are fucking up a lot tonight, bro. I am fucking up.
You sure you're not getting something
on? I don't know. Hot take here by Robert Midland. He says, I'm kind of confident in the new non-Dixie creative team, so I'll watch Impact for a little while.
Yeah, it's the Jackal. The Jackal's running shit, right?
Is it?
Don Gail Callis? Kim's on there, also on the writing team.
Oh, is she?
Wait, Gail Kim's writing for him? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And they did advertise before the main event of Redemption, the Triple Threat. They did advertise season 4 of Lucha Underground, like on Impact. Huh. So there might be more to this.
Daniel says that that cancer Jeff Jarrett being gone doesn't hurt either.
It's funny because
Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett.
And it's funny because I've gone on record before saying that those first couple of years where Jeff Jarrett was a heel champion might have been some of the best stuff TNA ever produced.
It may have been the best stuff Jeff Jarrett's ever done.
Yeah.
The King of the Mountain stuff, it was actually not that bad.
The first Bullet Club member in the Hall of Fame.
That's true. Mm. I do remember, though, being frustrated a lot of times. Because
he never lost.
Yeah, exactly. Early TNA, Jeff Jarrett was always putting the belt on himself.
So he was like Triple H. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Except he could see over his nose.
Yeah. But, like, other than Jarrett, early TNA, there was a lot of things that I really, really liked about it. I happen to be wearing a TNA shirt right now. Yeah,
that explains a lot of botching.
Yeah, it does.
Is it recovering for 420?
Smoke some of that.
I guess
shit.
So. Yep, there you go.
This Friday, the greatest Royal Rumble. Do you know it's in the great kingdom of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia?
Yes. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, I ruined both main events on Raw and SmackDown with a commercial in the middle of the fucking match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was being sarcastic. I knew what was going on. Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah. It's in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. I thought that was a car at Jeddah, but whatever.
No, that's where they make those cars.
They all fail the missions.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, no women's titles going on Friday. I think that much.
Yeah. All right.
You guys want to touch on that real quick? Interview.
Yeah.
Triple H did about.
Oh yeah,
what the whole women thing?
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. I don't know about the interview.
Triple H was basically defending people that were. Rumble fit.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of siding with Triple H on this one. As far as what happened behind closed doors when they were negotiating this deal, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But Triple H said that there is a shift going on in that country mm-hmm. where maybe eventually they will be able to do women's wrestling, but for right now, that's still not something that they could do in that country. Right. But that doesn't mean we're not going to go and not, you know, get paid to go.
Yeah. Because
they offered us money. We're going to go. They say, hey, it's illegal for you to have women's wrestling, so we're not going to have women's wrestling. But they're in the middle of a revolution.
Yeah.
So maybe someday
it'll happen.
You know? Rome didn't get built in a day.
Yeah, let it happen.
The fact that they're talking about it now is a big step that nobody saw coming.
The fact that there's going to be a goddamn show there.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about a bunch.
Be the biggest kick in the. That's the thing about it. I saw this all week and it pissed me off watching people like, oh, 10 steps back for the women's revolution. Shut the fuck up. First of all, you don't go over there and just fucking whip your dick around and pull your culture onto somebody else.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's something that respect what their culture is. Well, be it as different as ours, that's what America's all about, is respecting each other's culture. At least what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, you don't do that, that's cool. That I mean, it sucks, but fuck it, man. We abide by your rules.
This isn't. I'm sorry.
Like you said, maybe one day there will be, because just last year, Sasha and Alexa wrestled fully clothed, but then
But still, baby changes. Steps.
Yeah, exactly. Steps. Because this isn't a step back for the women's revolution. Actually is a step forward. Because if you look at this, this is a Western company with a bunch of Western wrestlers going over to the Middle East, where that's been like, no, we don't want any of your entertainment. Yeah. All of your entertainment is sinful. You're run by a Christian nation and this and that, and we're an Islamic nation. And no, the fact that WWE is there, the fact that they got in, women may not be wrestling, but since the companies are wrestling, and maybe they come back, and maybe they come back, and maybe they come back, and then maybe eventually you'll have fucking Alexa versus Sasha or Charlotte versus Asuka or something. You know, you got
a homegrown talent. They have tryouts.
Yeah, there you go.
They have tryouts.
You know, because a lot of the people that, and that was pissing me off. A lot of people that were saying, oh, well, they were able to do it the last time they went over there. They've never been over there. That was Dubai. That was the UAE. That was a completely different country. And that country is a little bit further along than Saudi Arabia. So look, they're changing their things. Give them a chance.
A hot
man.
Take that might not be so hot. This is a 10-year agreement that they're doing with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. By year 8. I'm predicting by year 8 of this 10-year agreement, we will have women.
2026.
We'll have women there. And it wouldn't. And it's funny because all the people that are talking smack saying that the WWE taking steps back, those are the same people that will not give credit where credit's due if this is one of the big leaps.
Oh, yeah.
If WWE's got their hand in one of the big leaps that gets Saudi Arabian women.
Yeah.
On equal footing. Like, oh, yeah, like there's moments in history where things happen and you can point out where the factors were. WWE's a factor. The same wrestling fans that talk shit are not going to give them credit. The people that hate wrestling the most will always be wrestling fans.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God, yes. That is so fucking spot on. Like true. I said, my new hatred for wrestling marks is WrestleMania is fucking living and breathing. Yeah. So, like, dude.
Welcome to the club.
This is
it's for everyone. Yes.
This is like a fuck you to the people that are like, say, like, oh, dude, New Japan's taking over. WWE, oh, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. Boy, we're changing the world over here. They're literally changing the world on the other side of the fucking continent. Like,
the universe.
The universe.
Yeah.
The WWE universe is expanding.
I mean, they're having a show, but they're not having women wrestle, because if they did have a woman wrestle, they would be breaking the law.
Yes.
They would be breaking the law in that country.
They wouldn't be able to come back home.
Yeah, exactly. So, they can't do it. Now,
this is the same. Talk English.
Hector, what's up, man? Hector Figueroa. Thank you for joining us. Daniel has a dissenting opinion. Would you like to hear Daniel's dissenting opinion?
No. This is coming from the guy that had to tell this pinhead in Messenger to not hang up fucking nudie pictures of fucking Tori Wilson and lingerie pictures of Lita and shit, because it's 2018. Not... Me too. Hashtag. Like, nah, man. Talk to us about something else.
I have an audience. I mean, like one.
Daniel, bitch about something else. While we give you time to do that, we're gonna give the women a segment since they don't have a spot in the pay per view.
Okay,
cool. Fucking love the finish of that 10 woman tag on Raw.
Okay, yeah,
and it was so match. Planned, and I still fucking loved it.
Yeah, I love the whole match. The execution of it was kind of injury and blah blah blah.
Oh yeah,
but dude, every part of the match was good. Everyone had their time to shine, even like. It took a little while to get there. The Riot Squad looked good. So that's the best I've ever seen.
Yes, that's
the Riot Squad looked good as fuck. Ember Moon over as fuck, dude. Into that fucking St. Louis crowd. You know what I mean? Like, she was over as fuck. If the rumors are true about Alexa Bliss having, you know, the little plastic surgery, then they kept her very safe this Monday too, because she was wearing a shirt and she didn't even get touched.
Fender's got to front the bumpers, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I seen that video of Alexa Torgan.
Yeah, in that cannonball that freaking Nia did. Alexa was like, "Yep."
Oh yeah.
I think Ember Moon took the brunt of that.
Am I tripping, or has Ember Moon? Or not, I mean, Nia Jax not done that before.
I've never seen her do that.
I've never seen that.
NXT, I think she did.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I thought, I was like, oh, is that a new move? But then I had it. It was like,
KO gave her the blessing.
I'm cool with it. I mean, dude, it looked nice.
The whole match was good. Mickey being an absolute asshole to everybody.
Yeah! Oh my God,
but I think she has the, other than that, even over Natty, she has the most pennants on that roster. She's been there the longest, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So for Sarah Connor to walk out there with like the look in her eye, ready to beeline. Yeah. And then Mickey, not only did she like hit her from behind, she's in the ring like, come on.
Yeah, bring it.
I fucking
love
it.
That was the one thing that I kind of wanted to nitpick on. When Natty was out, Rhonda kind of was staring at Mickey, and then, okay, I'm going to mess with Natty for a bit. Like, you were supposed to go out there and kick her ass, but you're tending to your friend. I get why you're tending to your friend, but the reason why you're tending to your friend is because this chick is there. Yeah. So you're going to go out there.
You want your friend to have a front row seat of the ass whooping, so you want her to stand up straight, not looking at it from, like, down here.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. It just felt kind of herky-jerky to me. Not Rhonda's fault. I think it was the booking of how they laid out that.
If I get to school and Penny's getting picked on, I make sure she's okay. When they're watching, I'm like, oh, shit, little fucking kid.
Okay.
Right now, they're implying with Rhonda, accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. Right now, you don't want to have Rhonda doing long promos. Right now, you don't want to have Rhonda do any bad acting.
Yeah.
I think she played her part damn near perfect. You walk out there, make sure your friend's all right, stand her up. Oh, somebody hit you from behind. All right, break her arm.
Yeah.
She's got three more.
Yeah.
And she did, sure enough. And that's a great way to end the show, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me if you can translate this. Daniel says, tit jobs are to females what WWE syndrome is to dudes.
I don't know what WWE syndrome
is. WWE style, I guess.
Oh. Or maybe. They have to adjust, or they have to, I mean, look at Peyton, the iconic duos got some iconic duos.
It happened.
Backwards, Serena Deeb took hers out when she left the WWE. Trish Stratus took hers out when she left the WWE. It's just something, I mean... Who are we to fucking hate?
Is it because they got them early on in the popularity and the freaking the silicone bonds to your skin like oil to sand, and it's hard to like, it's painful to remove. So now it's saline because it's, I don't even know how I know this shit.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I was going over my head.
WWE syndrome. Roy. That's what you meant. Okay. Daniel does say this. I appreciate the female form, but enough implants already. On a side note, I like to thank Naya's parents for breeding because those curves are real.
For every freaking, like, Trish Stratus, for every Caitlyn, there's an AJ Lee on the WWE.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. For every Dana Brooke, there's a Sasha Banks.
Although, I hear Dana's are real.
I don't know.
They're huge. They're real and they're spectacular.
But the real question is, we're three grown-ass men that have stick shifts down there below. Yeah. Did we really care if they're real or fake? They work just the same.
No.
Unless you, like, add some toys or anything to squeak and spin. And
yeah.
I have lights. Equalizer film. It's like...
Fucking fembots.
Death by Snoop Snoop.
Okay.
SmackDown. Cheap win for the Iconics.
Yeah, cool. I liked it. That's what you have to do to win. You light, you cheat, you steal.
Asuka's second loss.
I thought Becky was the one that was pinned.
Becky was the one that was pinned.
Yeah,
she
on
was
the record
on the team.
Books, yeah.
Oh,
man,
she lost.
Yeah,
because that's what they were saying during Mixed Match Challenge. If the Miz
Becky
loses,
bumped into Asuka, and I wonder if that's a little start or something.
Maybe
that'd be fucking cool because we need to heal Asuka. We need to heal Asuka because this face Asuka that isn't destroying everybody is fucking
really.
Yeah, we need to heal Asuka.
Really? Oh, that's a nice hot take.
She was a heel in NXT.
She became a heel.
But she never fully turned heel. She started doing kind of heelish stuff.
She was probably saying heel shit. We just didn't understand.
That's true too.
You wear long leg dresses in color. You're heel, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, sitting poolside. All right. So now with the women having their time, this sausage fest on Friday.
Oh my God!
The greatest Royal Rumble of all the times.
Okay. Are we gonna do this anticipation level wise? Like we? Okay.
Old school classic.
All right.
Arnold.
Yes.
Pick a match. Where do we begin?
Dude, I need the card if we're going to just be picking matches.
Fatal 4-Way. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Intercontinental.
Intercontinental ladder match. I didn't even know about that, the ladder part, until Tuesday.
I didn't know that either.
Samoan Joe, Mike Mizanin, Tyler Black, and Fergal Devitt.
Fucking fuck.
You indie motherfuckers get what I'm talking about here. But anyway, yeah.
Dude, the same people you hate.
Yes. This match is going to be fucking fun, dude. There's nobody. The Miz is going to be the perfect, like, little buffer for everything that's going to go on. Because you're going to get your fucking indie shit with Seth and Finn Balor. You're going to get your destruction with Samoa Joe. And you're going to get your fucking comedy and finesse with The Miz.
Cowardly heel.
Cowardly heel.
Okay, is it safe to say that?
Give me a number, boy.
That's what I'm going to say. You're somewhere 8 and above.
I'm at a 10. This match, I'm at a fucking 10. You cannot fail at this match. Okay. No outcome will I be mad.
I could come up with an outcome to be mad.
Yeah, you're wrestling.
Yeah, I know.
Is this Samoa Joe's first ever ladder match under the WWE banner?
Unless there was one in NXT. Whoa.
Bitch!
That was a good point.
10!
You raised me from an 8 to a 9,
sir. Woohoo! That's what I'm good at. Raising. California raising.
All right. Yeah, okay.
What's keeping you from the 10 then, broski?
The build?
That's going to be an issue with a lot of this.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because we assumed 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, that this was just something for their people.
Yes.
That we weren't going to get to see this. Mm-mm. Then it became such a hoopla. I was like, oh, man, it'd be kind of fucked up if we don't get to see this. Now we're going to get to see this. It's like, all right, man, goddamn, we get this through this week and Backlash next week.
God, I thought it was going to be a house show, but it's actually like a big-ass fucking pay-per-view.
You know what kind of vibe I'm getting from this event?
Insurrection?
Wrestle Kingdom. I'm getting that kind of vibe as far as like, hey, it's at a weird time of the day. Only some people are going to be able to watch live. And
in the middle of the week.
In the middle? No, Friday. Yeah. Everyone's going to try it. If not watching it live, because I already talked to our boss, and he's like, yeah, we're going to watch that shit. And if not live, we're going to fucking try to avoid the interwebs until we get home later Friday night and watch that shit in the comforts of our own couches. But or each other's couch or whatever.
Or
laps, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it has that vibe too, because like the card is like, damn, like all the matches are like, okay, cool. They're all interesting matches.
Apparently, I went to the wrong one. This should have been my WrestleMania.
Probably. Yeah, maybe. But see, that's the thing though. It's kind of a big deal, but they've tried to make it a big deal within the span of 2 weeks. 3 weeks ago, this wasn't a big deal. You know, we were thinking
we were still recovering from Mania.
We were recovering from Mania, but we were also looking forward to Backlash as being the first big thing.
You say that, but takeovers, I'd never know what the fucking card is until I'm fucking jizzing my pants.
Good point.
So you put on a good show, fuck the build.
But here's the other thing. You know how you said that you're happy with whoever wins?
Yeah.
I can think of a way where I'm like, I don't know. And this is gonna be really weird coming from me.
The Miz doesn't win.
If the Miz does win, I don't. The Miz is on the blue brand, and the Intercontinental title wasn't supposed to be over there, but if he is, then who's going to get the rematch? A guy from Raw, but this is a co-branded, but then you have Backlash. That's going to be co-branded, but, like, who's going to – like, it's going to be messy.
We will know – it's kind of like Survivor Series. You know one outcome by the other. Yeah. Whoever wins between
– Hardy and Jinder.
Hardy and Jinder. Whichever brand wins that one, the other brand.
Dude, or even then, it's just a fucking week.
Yeah.
They can swerve you and have both titles on one brand for a week, and then Backlash, something happens.
But that's my problem with pretty much the entire thing.
Yeah.
Where I could understand after you have a shakeup or a draft or whatever you want to call it, the next pay-per-view is going to be kind of fucked up. Yeah. You're going to have inter-promotional matches.
Ruined last year's Backlash.
Yeah. So I expect one to be not like that. Not two in a row.
Yeah.
Because it's going to fuck up Backlash. Yeah. So, like, this and Backlash are both like, what are we doing booking-wise? Is there a brand split? At this point, there may as well not be a brand split, least for 2 weeks.
Let's just say we go by the rules of, hey, if it happens here, it's going to happen there. Give me your prediction.
Hot take. I got the Miz winning. Time.
Okay.
Because of Big Cass. Bam. That's the help right there.
Equalizer.
And then the Miz and Big Cass are feuding with Daniel Bryan. Go for it.
I'm on board. I'm on board with Big Cass.
Was it before or after he put on the what?
And the jacket that was a little too short.
And then he raised his arm. So you can see the big Titantron say big ass.
Big ass.
Yeah, ooh. Hi, Poppy. No, it was after
and
that.
That straight butt rock fucking intro. Bam,
yeah.
That's like his eight different theme as his solo, and none of them worked.
It was after that. It wasn't until the promo itself. Now, I do feel like the promo itself
Shit all over that promo.
It was a little wordy at some times, at some points, but I saw the potential of what there could be with Big Cass. Like there's definitely high points that were in there. Mm-hmm. And I like the story. I really, really like that Miz kind of like, I don't need your help. Because there's a lot of people that are kind of going your way, like you just said, that like Big Cass and the Miz are going to be a unit and that's going to be his lackey and da 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 da. I'm like, no, Miz kind of shut that down, although it could be a red herring saying, I don't need your help. No,
which means,
he instantly went back on it. He was whenever he got a fist, well, people like Daniel Bryan, like he fucking like swerved it real quick.
But it kind of shows that at least right now, unless it's all big fucking red herring, which it's wrestling, but it shows that at least right now, it's like, okay, enemy of enemy is my friend. Yeah. Miz is being a weasel. Not necessarily Miz was a weasel 2 weeks ago and planned all this shit out.
There's too much of the ADD where we need to have it up front and not a lot of the seduction and the slow tease into a nice like payoff.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they didn't make it so obvious with this. Even though I can kind of tell. Exactly. And even then, the fact that they didn't make it so obvious, I'm waiting for freaking June or July where they make it official that the Miz is
And this would make the Miz tied or the leader for the most Intercontinental Championships.
But he would have the most days. He would have the longest total reign of days under Intercontinental Championship.
This would make him tied with Jericho. It'd be at 9. Me like that Law and Order episode where at the beginning you're like, oh, that guy's the killer. And like you know it right from the get-go. But then like 3/4 of the way in, you're there's like, that ooh. Twist. I was like, oh fuck, I was wrong. Holy shit, I was wrong.
So I'm just Law and Order episode.
and like you said, the whole thing with the brand split, there are two guys from SmackDown on that match. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for the promo where Big Cass protecting the Miz as while the Miz is Intercontinental Champion. Big Cass kind of strutting his stuff saying, you know what? I'm indestructible and you can't teach that. And then out comes the Destroyer, Samoa fucking Joe. Then give me Samoa Joe as an anti-hero against the Miz for the IC title.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting things that can
That can come out of this. Yeah. That's what I love about it because.
But that's from the shakeup, though. That's not necessarily from this paper.
Yeah. Lost in the Shuffle is, you know, Finn Balor being able to fucking do something cool or Seth Rollins continuing his fucking reign of dominance of like badass matches that he's been putting
on. That's
true. So, yeah, giving him the payoff of all the shit.
You know what? You guys convinced me. I'm going to go with a 9.5. God damn it.
So who do you got winning?
I'm going to say Rollins will keep it.
Rollins will keep it.
Okay. So let's jump to the other side then. We got the Intercontinental title from SmackDown. Well, from Raw. We got the U.S. title from SmackDown. Jinder's rematch against Brother Nero. What's your anticipation level for this?
Jinder versus Brother Nero rematch 7. I don't necessarily care about the match itself. I care about the outcome and how that affects this and that. That's really all I care about. Because I really was on board with Jinder being United States champion, but then he got drafted, and then he lost, and then Hardy came over there, and whatever. Like, if this was like Jinder kept it, he was still on SmackDown throughout this whole couple of weeks, and we're having like anti-USA, US champ Jinder, I would have been there, but we're not there, and it's kind of convoluted or whatever. I don't care who's winning. That's all I want to know.
It's funny, for a lot of matches that we think are inconsequential, you're thinking these finishes are consequential because the one goes with the other.
Yeah. Okay.
What if Roman beats Lesnar and Jinder is the guy to stop Roman in his tracks, and Jinder becomes Universal Champ? Will fans finally like Jinder because he beat the guy that nobody likes?
Yeah.
God damn, Daniel. He said, I give no fucks. I hope the ring explodes with Jinder and Hardy both inside. Holy shit, dude. That's dark.
On that, my anticipation level for this match is an 8.
Okay.
I really want to see it because the past 2 weeks, Jinder Mahal's had these two best matches I've ever seen him wrestle. Against Jeff Hardy and against Chad Gable. Both matches, I was like, oh, wow, yeah. That's what I wanted last year. Okay. That's what we were supposed to be getting last year. Somebody who's dominant, somebody who's like, crisp. He was real crisp in the ring, and he's playing his character in the match, and that's fucking cool.
The issue with Mahal's matches from the last 2 weeks from last year He goes well with Chad Gable. He goes very well with Jeff Hardy. He can't go too well with Randy Orton. And Nakamura is like a fucking, like one of those paper puzzles. Yeah. Like it's all confusing and you don't ever know what you're going to pick. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get when you stick that game in anybody's hands. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with Jinder. So if Jinder can have more matches with guys that are fluid and sound in the ring, like oddly enough, Jeff Hardy, because he's not as slippy dippy as he was a decade ago.
Yeah.
And Gable, who's very grounded, dude, Jinder could actually do some damage there. Mm-hmm. And I would rather see, oddly enough, I'm gonna say this, I would rather see Jinder wrestle Roman than Brock, because Brock is that question mark. Like you don't know what the fuck you're gonna get out of Brock.
Okay.
At least with Roman. Give the credit where credit's due. Roman's had some good matches last year on Raw building up to him getting this title match at WrestleMania with guys like Gable.
Yeah.
So if you put Jinder and Roman together down the road, again, like you're thinking of all the possibilities up post shakeup, I'm intrigued on what we could get if we actually do get Jinder and Roman for the title. And if Jinder wins, that we can actually do it right. Especially on Raw where there's more people watching. Because obviously Raw
is the bigger
attraction. Yeah.
See, I'm torn on this sometimes. Champions to retain because I want them to have longer runs. Like I want Seth to have a badass IC title run. I want Jeff to have a meaningful US title run. But I'm 100% on board with them swiping over and Miz taking the Intercontinental title that he covered so much to SmackDown and Jinder Mahal being the US champion on Raw. Mm-hmm. That'd be something different.
Okay.
And it's like you win either way. Mm-hmm. Like if Mahal wins the U.S. title, dude, Jeff Hardy in the title. How about the Miz in the heavyweight title picture? Mm-hmm. You know, Jinder doesn't have the title. What about Jinder in the main event scene on Raw? You know, they're like everybody has opportunities wherever in the card you put them.
Yeah.
Right now,
if there's at least one pay per view that's at least not that damn predictable, it's this one.
Yeah. It's all kinds of
there's so much fucking,
especially since they have the next pay-per-view a week later
All right. Who's your official pick? Who do you got winning officially?
For the US title?
Yes.
Hardy.
You?
Dude, I want Jinder to win it, man. The xenophobia with the actual US title would be fucking gold.
In Saudi Arabia somewhere.
In Saudi Arabia. He's from Canada.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna say Hardy's keeping it.
Another 10 out of my pocket.
Oh.
Because I don't know what the fuck is going to happen in this casket match with Taker and Brother Rusev. Bury me softly, brother.
Oh, man.
Bury me softly.
Brother Rusev.
Brother Rusev. He's
getting buried, not throwing the Laker reincarnation.
And on all days, I'm fucking Rusev Day.
Oh, Rusev Day.
Gonna happen.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the 9.
For a Taker match.
That's your highest Taker match rating in fucking 17 years.
Probably. Since this podcast has started, probably. Yeah.
Because it's Rusev.
Yeah.
But, no.
So
no,
your
no,
math
no.
is flawed.
No. Listen. It's because this isn't Taker at Mania. My issue hasn't been Taker. I know you guys like to say that Abel hates The Undertaker. I don't hate The Undertaker. I hate what they've been doing with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. This isn't WrestleMania.
This is inconsequential.
It's not that it's inconsequential. Five fucking Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer, who is having a meaningful match at something other than WrestleMania, and this whole fucking dogma of the streak, not the streak, who's winning, who's not winning. Like, you don't have to fucking worry about that. This is just going to be a badass match, a gimmick match for the guy who's always had this fucking gimmick, and I love that when people have specific matches that are their signatures or specific weapons. Or
like
signatures.
The Ambrose Asylum.
Yeah, like stuff like that.
The Y2 Jail.
That was failed. But you see where I'm going.
The Brahma Bull Scrap Match.
None of those are on the level with Taker and the casket match. You know, Taker and a casket match. Well, shit, that's pretty cool. And if we want to talk about, the builds. This build, even though, listen to me, quit interrupting, man. The build is a little bit different, not because WWE on purpose did this. Unless they really did, but it's just like all the crazy bullshit that happened where we're having it for no reason, that we're not having it for no reason, presumably because Jinder said something stupid. Oh, Rusev said something stupid. Oh, Rusev's on.
Lana gave her permission.
What? Lana gave her permission? Okay, so what the fuck happened
to
Jericho?
This has to be a spinoff of Total Divas of like, yeah, Rusev, Machka, something on E.
And this always goes back to that thing that I always, you know, put on my tinfoil hat where I say,
aliens exist.
We're getting worked.
Oh, yeah.
The IWC is getting worked. This isn't just a kayfabe storyline. It's like, oh, us on the fucking dirt sheets looking and saying, oh, see, he's about to leave. Oh, he tweeted that because he wants his release.
Ziggler's been on his way out for 3 years.
All that shit could have been planned to make
us. I still want him out. I'm holding the door open for that fucker.
Yeah, to make us marks think that we know what's really going on, but we don't know what's going on. And I'm okay with
it. I can see Jericho coming up with this idea. Like, hey, have me fucking replace you and then not replace you. Have all these fucking nerds.
Nerds! Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
But would you rather see Jericho in this casket match or Rusev?
I'd rather see Jericho. Rusev. I'd rather see Jericho just because, come on, throw this motherfucker a bone. He's almost over. He was.
Let him lose to Taker in a casket match?
What?
And I have him lose to Taker in a casket match?
No, I'd rather see Jericho in the match than Rusev. Because. Okay. Throw him a bone and don't put him in the fucking casket match with the Undertaker because he's gonna get buried. Okay. Like that's common sense. Like, wow, you're gonna bury your fucking. But again, Daniel Bryan.
What if Taker gets buried in the casket?
Get out of here!
It's happened before.
Yeah,
and then he comes back from the grave.
Yeah. It should be a buried alive. But goddamn, it should be a buried alive.
Would this be the best way for him to actually factually retire instead of I left my hat in the ring?
That would be bragging rights for the rest of Rusev's career.
Yeah, what if Rusev actually puts him in a goddamn casket and he's gone and we never see him again?
But if WrestleMania is anything where he just like destroyed John Cena, I think this is like a given.
I think the casual audience will turn on Rusev if Rusev retires Taker. You're in a momentum
he's
right
a
now.
He's a heel.
He's a heel.
But. He's getting Rusev Day chants. He's got morons all over the country buying those fucking calendars.
Mm-hmm. I made one. Yeah,
you're just one good feud away from actually turning Rusev into probably one of your most organically popular baby faces.
Yeah, true.
A la Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, okay.
On that brand. And I would Rusev, what probably even Rusev doesn't want.
Yeah.
At least Jericho being a part-timer, he can carry that heat around if he were to put Taker in there. And by I think, isn't this the first time Jericho and Taker would have had a one-on-one match?
Oh, no.
Nah, that can't be. Really? No. There's
got to be.
There had to be. Yeah. Like, on
televised.
Like,
televised?
That had to have happened on a random SmackDown or something.
Yeah, maybe.
That had to have.
Look it up.
Daniel says a Bulgarian going over on a kayfabe dead dude from Texas and Saudi Arabia. Nuh-uh.
What's your anticipation, Arnold?
For the casket match. Oh man, just because of my fear of it ruining Rusev.
I thought he was going to say his fear of caskets.
No, dude, I'm such a hypocrite for this, but I'm all the way out of 9 for this just because of the sheer like it's like, hey, those be there to watch a guy.
This is what would happen if Arnold had superpowers.
Yeah, that's my thing. I'm looking at
Robert Midland said they wrestled that Survivor Series.
Okay.
And then Daniel Price says, no, Chris, they've wrestled before.
Well, it's been a while.
Okay.
But you got winning this.
Taker.
Okay.
World
Heavyweight Championship match. Chris Jericho versus The Undertaker. Okay. I don't know when it was, but it was a long time ago.
Okay. I got Taker winning this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the safe bet to just say Taker's going to win it. Taker. This could be just like, hey, we're out here. We're doing this show for these people.
Some of these people probably always wanted to see The Undertaker.
Yeah, let's just throw Undertaker out there. Who's he going to fight? Oh, Kofi? That didn't work so well when we had Kofi versus Brock in Japan. Let's give him somebody a little bit more credible. All right, Rusev.
Yeah.
The bludgeoning against the Usos.
Man, this Tuesday either got me really intrigued by the storyline or ruined it for me. There's no in between.
Well, you're not supposed to because you hated the shit last week. So you can't come back and say you like it now. Hypocrite!
Chris, I loved it. I loved it last week. I love it this week.
I don't
know. The only flaw That was for nothing. They should have saved that shit until they got to Jeddah.
Yep.
What?
She's not going to be there.
Oh, she's not going to be there.
You had to pull it off Tuesday.
Yeah. God. So, okay. Is it that the women can't wrestle or they can't be on the show at all?
They can't be there on the show.
Like, none of the women are going.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. None. So they can't even, like, be backstage.
They might be able to be there, but they're not going to wrestle, so they're not just going to go.
They don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
All right.
They're going on a badass, much-deserved vacation, all these women. Yeah. We're going to have Divas and Hedonism in a couple weeks.
The entire next season of Total Divas is going to be about this one week.
It's going to be filmed right this fucking week.
Ooh. It's going to be an episode of Triple Play for Playboy.
Yeah.
So anyway, all the boys went off to Saudi Arabia, so Natty decided to throw a party.
Mimosas, bitches!
Primo!
And then Alexa brought out the 24-pack of the batteries.
So,
Renee's like, oh, I could fit 9-volt batteries.
There's going to be a bludgeoning. They're going to keep the titles.
Anticipation level, 5 out of 7.
5.
Okay.
Bludgeoning's going to continue.
On Monday, on Tuesday, next Tuesday, they're going to be like, who better than Canyon? You know who?
New Day.
Sanity.
No.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with that. Didn't they say that
next
there was
week.
Next week, and that was last week, and then they weren't there?
There's a promo video. They showed a promo video.
They showed a promo video with actual promo. Like, all three of them talked.
Yeah, so that's technically.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Whose fault is that?
It was actually a really good promo, and they did a second Animas promo.
I must have accidentally fast-forwarded through that when I was going through
the version. I did the first time. I had to rewind it.
Too obvious to give the tag titles to the deleter of worlds.
You do it. You do
sure,
it.
Sure, why not?
Anticipation level?
5, 6.
Five.
Yeah.
I'm more interested as to what's going to become of this duo.
Yeah.
Than I am the outcome of the match.
And did you see on Twitter? They Bray Wyatt reached out to Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
Oh, yeah.
Saying not to listen to these, not to go to those obsolete mules.
I know that
they can find a Lake of Reincarnation spot for them.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact of them probably being one of the or two of the 50, I don't think they're going to be anywhere else on the card. So I want to take this moment to talk about Axel and Dallas. I kind of like
entertaining.
I like what they were doing.
The Baxel Club.
I hope that this is the start of something bigger for them.
Oh yeah.
Because they were the Mrs. Lackey, but functional as lackeys. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But maybe on their own, maybe they'll become better lackeys for somebody else, or maybe they'll become a legit tag team.
And it's much deserved because both of them have been legitimate before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much legitimate as they could have been. Whenever he first came out, the perfect, him being, whatever.
The Heyman guy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, I was on board. Then Triple H just fucking buried his ass.
Yeah.
And then Bo Dallas, when he first came out of the gate, when he beat
he had a badass run in NXT.
NXT, and when he beat British dude, is that Bad News Barrett. When he beat him, when he first came out, he was green as fuck, but like he had a good run, and then Bo Lee was fun,
mm-hmm.
and then like whenever he started to turn a little bit before he got on the. Axel's goddamn, you gotta be deaf to hear that he's over. He's not over. He's over everywhere mm-hmm. he goes. Everywhere they still chant Axel Mania.
That's true.
And so I think they should do something with it.
Both of those guys have had rather stale one-dimensional characters for a long, long time and for runs at a time.
Right,
and
I think, remember that?
Yeah. I think this is an opportunity to now that they're a little bit more fleshed out after the whole Miz stuff and they have a little bit more to them, to give them something and become not one-dimensional characters, maybe multi-dimensional characters,
At least two.
So, yeah, at least two. Well, yeah, I'm hopeful.
Cavs beat the Pacers. Fuck.
Oh, really?
Oh, they did?
Yeah, so they're up 3-2.
Oh, damn.
I'm just waiting for the one promo backstage.
They should legit join the Balor Club.
I'm waiting for the one promo backstage where Curtis tells Axel's like, you know what? I need to go on my own because I want to be better than my dad. Don't you want to be better than your dad? Your dad was a great tag team champion, but what else did he do? My dad was a great Intercontinental champion, but what else did he do? I want to be better. Don't you want to be better? And just let them do their own thing. Not necessarily they have to team them up now that they're gone. I just want to see them do something with them.
How interesting would it be for WWE to have them as not necessarily a tag team, but singles competitors who are like always hanging out with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't see that very often, mm-hmm. where it's like they are singles competitors, but they don't tag because they're not going for the tag titles. They're going for Intercontinental or this and that or whatever.
Whatever they're going to start trying to do with Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, they need to either fucking, you know, take a shit or get off the pot with them too.
I mean, it's cool to match.
Oh, yeah.
And they look impressive.
Fuck yeah, Twin Towers.
We were listening to the Taz show, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you doing with Lashley? The first time that you see him, you stick him in a 10-man tag in a throwaway.
Yeah, and like, the second time, he's overshadowed by Braun.
Yeah, he's definitely overshadowed.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, I guess they were hoping that he was going to get a rub off of Braun, but I think he was overshadowed.
I think he was overshadowed. I'm still – the new car smell is still on for me for Bobby Lashley. I'm still – what's going on over there? But they got to hurry up and pull that trigger. Mm-hmm.
The problem with me with Bobby, I've already said this 2 weeks in a row. There wasn't anything from Bobby Lashley before he left WWE to make them want to keep them there. So why did they bring him back to do the same shit that he did before that they didn't think back then different. Was worthy enough to keep him?
Yeah.
They should have just brought Bobby Lashley in and done something completely different. Like, bring him as a fucking heel.
Yeah,
they bring him in and just have him do something different. Like, you're doing your same poses. You're doing the same delayed suplex. You're doing the same spear.
Which, by the way, dude, those delayed suplexes ain't been looking too good.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, come on, man. Give me.
Sammy.
Yeah, everyone does. Show me why you brought him back. Don't show me the same dude that I can see on the network for in like a 30-second circle.
Which is the exact opposite of what they're doing with Drew.
McIntyre. God, yeah.
Drew McIntyre, like, oh, well, he used to be around, and he was
fucking
wasn't...
love. Except they fucking ruined.
I hate that,
ruined
too.
Ruined it. Yeah. It's just dun, dun, dun. That's it.
You don't like the bagpipes?
I love the bagpipes, but before it came in with the riffage.
Bad fucking song.
Now it's just fucking generic.
Now it's just like, it's like Big Cass's old song with fucking bagpipes.
Well, I disagree with your comment on Drew because I think they did the same thing. Like, the Drew McIntyre that I've seen the last 2 weeks on Raw is the same Drew McIntyre that was on SmackDown before he left in the first place. Why did you bring him back? Why did you have him in NXT? What was so cool about Drew in NXT? What was it that from before that you brought him back on the main roster? Why are you giving me the same, like, broken dreams? I need to hear it.
Yeah, because Corey's been doing a good job at it. And Michael Cole was saying about, like, the same way they built him in NXT, they're building him up here on Raw. They're saying he had this run in WWE before. He had to go find himself. He came back more aggressive. That's exactly what happened in NXT.
And that's not what they're doing with Lashley.
Yeah, exactly.
They should be doing the exact opposite.
Yeah. But if that means they're dropping the ball on Lashley and they're gaining it with Drew McIntyre, that's fine with me because I'm loving what they're doing with Drew and Dolph Ziggler. That fucking move is just badass to see the
Claymore and the zigzag together.
Zigzag.
Yeah.
The Clay Mag.
Daniel says, at Chris. That's you. Because he was hot over in TNA. That about sums up why Vince brought Lashley back.
Yeah, I mean, it's work for
Sabotage TNA.
AJ, Samoa, fucking everyone else.
Yeah.
Then he also says, at Chris, same reason, Drew was hot in TNA.
So that's why they're hiring. True. They took all the good stuff.
Yeah. Pilfer the
brought back Bobby Ray Dudley.
Yeah. Where are we at on the match?
Why are we having Cena versus Triple H on this?
I don't even know.
I have no idea. This particular match, it lends the argument for it feeling more like, oh, it's just a house show.
Yeah, for them.
A house show for them. I was like, oh, who are the biggest names you could throw out there? All right.
Yeah. Cena Hogan and Savage, brother.
Yeah. So Cena and Triple H.
I mean, I'm not going to not like the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, WWE guy. I'm going to like the match.
It's probably going to be a good-ish. A good enough match.
Good-ish.
Yeah, it's going to be good enough.
Since day one-ish, right?
But yeah.
Zero fucking build.
Zero
build. Why are we having this match?
We haven't even seen Cena.
For the fuck of it.
Well, one, we can't see Cena in general.
Right.
We haven't heard from Cena since WrestleMania.
Since he broke up with Nikki.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anticipation level.
It's a one.
Four.
I'm at a one because it's just like, what? Oh, okay, cool. But that'll probably be a good match, but I'll see it when I see it.
Yeah, one.
I think earlier one of these guys in the live chat, I think it was Daniel.
Right. Daniel's got like 80% of the posts on here. Look at that. God damn. Thank you for the adulation.
Yes. Triple H is going to come out on the camel.
Backwards like Bobby Heenan.
Ouch. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, there's still like 17 more matches to go.
Right call or wrong call by having Kalisto as the number one contender for Cedric Alexander this Friday?
That just ruined it because I didn't know who won the match. So Kalisto won the gauntlet match?
He was the last person in the gauntlet match, and he wound up winning.
How was the match?
I'll explain the match to you very quickly.
Okay.
We started with Ali and TJP. Ali defeated DJP. Gulak came in and defeated Ali. Tapped him out. Choked him out.
Yes.
Gulak then choked out Tony Nese.
Whoa.
And Gulak lost to Kalisto.
That's it?
And that's it. Only five guys. And it took up the entire episode. 50 minutes.
Wow.
There was some good stuff in there.
Okay.
There was some really good stuff in there. There's
people you could have added on there. That...
Yeah. Ali versus TJP was mouthwatering, man. But then when you realize you're trying to build Ali as like the second coming, your number two babyface,
yeah,
and you're gonna have him start this match,
yeah.
Either you're gonna have him win this and make it too obvious that something weird's gonna happen,
or so this is like Seth Rollins,
yeah,
that's what they should have done with him,
yeah.
I think it was a wrong call. I think with said Drew being the heel, and this new heel, Drew, I fucking love. I love it where, oh, he's the best technician wrestler in WWE. I love
submission
that.
Submission specialist.
Submission specialist. I fucking love it.
Also, here's where racism comes in. You missed the boat on having a dude named Mustafa Ali wrestle in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and be over as fuck.
Put him in the Rumble. You can have a lot of these cruiserweight guys. Dude. Have a lot of these cruserweights in the Rumble.
Yeah, I think I'm in the Rumble. I got a text the other day.
I'm 47. I'm number 47. I'm flying out.
I'm not telling anybody what my number
is. I'm number 69, apparently. Wait, what?
The one number you're not good at. Yeah, man. Unless you're going to turn the house party as a heel click. You don't like half the country didn't like Mexicans anyway.
You're the Lucha house party? That's a baby face.
Did they make a big deal about Buddy Murphy this week at all?
No. But here's the one. So Gulak taps out Ali, chokes him out. Here comes Tony East's music. He stands up on there and he's got his vest and he's about to go like this. And then he goes, nah. And he just walks because he knows Gulak is there. He's ready to beat the shit out of him.
So he's facing it up now then.
Right? Well, not necessarily facing it up. He's actually like he's more focused on his priorities.
Okay.
But that also was the glitch. I would say Nese versus Gulak is a match of the week candidate for me because Gulak, dude, Tony Nese was beating the ever-loving fuck out of this guy. And he had him. He had the W. But then he tried to throw him in the corner and do his patented running knee. Yeah. And then freaking Gulak moved and he got him in the dragon sleeper and choked out Nese. And
what Nese tapped it? Out. They gave it a knee.
Oh, the Gulak.
The Gulak.
The Gulak. The Gulak. And then he tapped out Tony Nese. And then Tony Nese, as soon as he got out of the hold, was pissed. Like he was slamming the mat, mad at himself because he knew he fucked up.
Oh, wow.
So you're actually adding more dimensions to that
guy. Yeah, okay.
You know, for a guy that does literally everything. He can do strongman stuff. He can do flippy dippy. Uh-huh. He can do mat wrestling.
Yeah, dude, I like Tony Nese a lot.
This is adding more character to him.
Oh, yeah.
The first heel that becomes champion once Cedric loses the belt, I wouldn't mind seeing not a completely like hi, hello, facey, but like a somewhat likable Tony Nese.
Front up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe they're trying to take advantage of having a luchador overseas in a match. Cedric, two faces in a row on pay-per-views.
Yeah, and when you could have had the most over heel against him.
Which is weird liked that. Because I last week bought on sale for $2 at the Ring of Honor website the DVD from All-Star Extravaganza last couple years ago with Cedric and Moose in that hardcore match. And it's easy to forget when Cedric first showed up in the Cruiserweight Classic and he lost in the second round, the fans chant, please sign Cedric, and he had the moment where Triple H hugged him and stuff. There's obvious why he's a babyface, but it's easy to forget how good a heel Cedric can be.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
and it's
he
weird.
Was so good
and,
as a heel.
Oh, fuck, was he good as a heel at Ring of Honor? It helped that he had Vader, but even then on his own, he was still good, you know? So,
and what was the other dude? The other dude that was running around? The other like manager guy, the skinny black dude.
Oh,
I forget his name. Fuck.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
I forget.
But anyway, that whole like click, all three of them, they were like, oh, these annoying motherfuckers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that was hard because Vader Scott was fucking hot.
Yeah.
All right.
So anticipation level for the Cruiserweight title match, Kalisto versus...
It could have been higher if it was Drew versus Sid, but six. Sid's keeping it. You?
About a five.
Sid?
I'd say Sid's keeping it.
You?
Five with Sid. All right.
Well,
that was next. Pretty fast.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're getting a nitty gritty here. How about Nakamura versus AJ Styles, part two or three, depending on what universe you're in?
Okay. I'm not going to do it. It's like I'm wearing the Rockets jersey right now, but I still don't believe in them because they've broke my heart too many fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give this a 10 because I want it to be a 10. I know that they can give me a fucking 5-star match. I want this 5-star match. And now you have Unf and fucking Nakamura. It's not two faces going, let's see what you got, brother, and just fucking Rocky and fucking Apollo Creed doing this at the end of the movie. No, it's fuck you. Stop hitting me in the nuts. Let's fight. In the dick. You know, that guy. And I just have to throw this in there. I fucking love Nakamura's new intro. God damn, I love it. Instantly. And as I thought it, Corey Graves said it.
Prince Nana.
Who? Prince Nana. Okay. That was the name of the other.
Trying to do a fucking show here.
Sorry.
As I thought it, Corey Graves said it.
What'd he say?
Nakamura got this new song because he was tired of everyone singing along to his song. He's a fucking heel now. That was the perfect thing to do. It's so fucking, it's on, dude. It's on as fucking. I think I'm getting that food poisoning already. Yeah. It's going to be fucking great. I think that match is going to be fucking a barn burner. But, again, I'm not going to give it a 10 because I gave it a 10 for WrestleMania. And I sat there like, it's going to get good right now. Hey, watch. Oh, it's over. Yeah.
I'm at a 7.
Okay.
Ooh.
Part because of what you just said. The other part was I came out of WrestleMania weekend telling you guys, this is the homecoming. This is the arrival of King of Strong Style.
Yes.
Not King of Dong Style.
No.
Of him hitting him in the balls every fucking week. Other than that, I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that this is going to be Shinsuke from New Japan. So I need to see it first to believe it.
If you saw the match on SmackDown, he has another, like, his kind of like where it might have all been aesthetics, but when Alberto Del Rio turned face, I thought he had like a quicker, like a pep in his step in the ring.
Yeah, okay.
Nakamura has this like weirder way of wrestling now where it's kind of like Jackie Chan, the Drunken Master kind of vibe.
Okay.
But also just kind of really unorthodox like way of the way he pinned one of the Good Brothers, the smaller one.
Anderson
was just fucking weird. He pinned him in a very weird way. And he was just like,
Anderson.
He was.
He had kishasas for breakfast.
He was being that Freddie Mercury weirdo guy, but like.
I'm 100% on board with this heel turn for Shinsuke.
If they do something with it, yes.
No, I like it right now.
So if he never wins the WWE title on SmackDown this year. And they just go
if he goes on a losing streak, then okay, yeah. But I'm the character guy. I love the fucking character. And I think that with the taunt stuff, the come on, and the doing the weird movements and this and that, it kind of worked as a face for him, but you're essentially taunting your opponent. So it's kind of like, yay, he's doing the funny things as a babyface. But as a heel, it's like he's really trying to get into the head of his opponent to fuck him up because he's a dick. And he likes to punch dicks. So it was like, all right, it's starting to level out and mesh with each other. And the fact that, like, it was really hard for him to cut a well-spoken promo, now he doesn't have to because he just needs to be a dick. And, like...
Would you rather him cut Japanese promos instead of just saying the...
Yes, I want him to cut Japanese promos now because now that could still be, like, even more so than before. It could be, like, this heel thing where sometimes you have... he was just, I don't know what he said, but he seemed mad, and he's like, I'm not even going to speak to you in your own language, or in your language, I'm going to speak to you in my language, too bad you don't understand me, and they just rattle off something, and then, like, I don't know what he said, but he seemed mad, and, like, he just fucked somebody up.
We just got that last year with Jinder.
Yeah, but I think it could pull off. I think, like Arnold said, there's this energy there about him that was a little bit different. You know, in WWE, it's different than in Japan, because in Japan, if you hit hard and you hit, you know, your strong style or whatever,
you're cool.
Good job. The respectful Japanese crowd appreciates the hard work that you do. Hi. But here, if you're hitting hard and going, oh man, he's vicious. He's a dick. You know? Yeah. You know, oh, there was some malice behind that.
Yeah.
So it kind of works here. So I love the new entrance music. Love it. It kind of like makes it seem like he's not pretending to be a rock star anymore. Now he is a rock star. He's got a rock star fucking music. He's got that rock star vibe, that conceited rock star attitude. Like it's starting to come together a little bit more than what his babyface run was.
Who you got winning?
Hot take, Shinsuke. Shinsuke's going to do it.
I agree.
Shinsuke. All right. Shinsuke.
He needs to win.
You were at what, 7?
What is nine?
You're at 9 and you're at 7? I'll split the difference. I'll be at 8.
How about the steel cage? Lesnar versus Reigns for the Universal title. Arnold. Give me a number.
Oh. Settle. Settle, Melo.
Defend yourself.
I was at WrestleMania. I've seen the match inside, outside of the steel cage, and didn't care. Mm-hmm. Inside, I could care less. It's going to be a shit show. It's going to be like, oh, bam, 17F5, 14 spears, and freaking...
And a few Kimuras.
A Kimura.
And a Diet Coke.
A diving spear from the top of the cage was going to win the match or something stupid like that. I don't care, dude.
Brock Lesnar should start press.
Yeah, just end this already. End it. And have Roman win the belt and defend against Samoa Joe at Backlash and win. And that's it. Have Brock come back at SummerSlam to fight whoever.
I bet everyone has the opinion that Arnold just said.
Okay.
Where I've already seen how desperate they're trying to turn Roman into the next guy. And then at the last minute,
this was our opinion for WrestleMania.
And at the last minute, they didn't do it. So how much further overboard are they willing to go to hammer that last nail through the coffin, out the other end of the wood, to remind us that, hey, this is the guy you're supposed to like.
Yes.
Everyone is feeling like that.
Is that how you feel, sir?
I'm not against it. It's just there. Like, remember, guys, this is gonna be on at 11 in the morning, 11 in the morning, 5 hours,
our time, 11.
Yeah, I'm already gonna be hungover from watching Infinity War the night before. We've already got shit going, dude. Who really is going to make the effort to watch a show from start to finish that has already happened?
Yes.
So there's going to be things you're going to fast forward. I'm oblivious to this
match.
I don't even care to watch the ending of this. Like I that's a spoiler I wouldn't mind seeing pop up on my Facebook feed. Like, okay, great. Yeah. Cool. Next. That's 30 minutes that I don't need to sit through.
Exactly.
Unless you're going to tell me that the crowd shat through everything. They're like, yay, Saudis. Good job. Come to our country. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm at a 0 just because it's there. Like, since it's not live and I have to condense a lot of this shit to cover next week, plus the pre-show for fucking Backlash, this is the equivalent of a piss break.
Yeah.
I have 0 fucks to give. It's not that I'm angry. Yeah. I just don't care.
All right. This is where Abel gives it a 10.
0-0?
Yeah.
I'm going to break it even with you.
7.
Okay.
I'm going to 7.
What is redeeming about this feud that's giving you the 7? He shat on it. I'm oblivious. Where are you? Tell us.
Samoa fucking Joe.
He's a wild card. I don't know whose dick he's sucking.
I don't know either, but that's the only thing that has me interested in it, and I'm very interested because I want Roman to win so that Roman can get brutalized by Samoa Joe.
Victimized.
I
have to think.
Yeah.
It would be cool if Samoa Joe comes from underneath the ring, throws Roman Reigns to the side of the cage, it breaks open, and he falls and wins.
Maybe, in the live chat, Daniel said that after 50 spears, Roman will just escape the cage by accident or something.
What if Roman does beat Brock? Roman defends the title against Samoa Joe. Brock costs Roman Reigns the match. And we get to see this again inside Hell in a Cell.
I don't know.
Is this a scenario where Samoa Joe is the Universal Champion on SmackDown?
Yeah. Or elimination.
I don't know.
Because it's too easy to just say, just give it to Roman and move on. I'll fast forward through a lot of Raw. But you're intrigued mostly because of someone that's not even in this match.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm intrigued by it because
Joe's the next Paul Heyman guy.
It has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with the fact that I don't want Brock as champ anymore. I don't want Roman to be the guy. The only way that that's going to work out is if Roman beats Brock, Brock goes away, Roman has the fucking hot potato, and then Joe, the only guy that I'm going to be happy in the whole goddamn scenario with, is going to beat him. So it's like all this, like this is just a setup to put shine on Joe for me. That's what it is for me. I know that I'm probably going to be disappointed because none of that shit's going to come true, but at least it's got me hooked. Not because of the two guys in the match, but because of Samoa Joe, because his promos have been fire.
Yes.
Him making fun of Roman.
But are you surprised?
Listen, I'm not watching this as a fan. I'm putting my eyes and my brain into the skull of Samoa Joe. I'm going to watch this as though I'm Samoa Joe. I'm going to sit there eating
halfway
popcorn.
There.
I'm going to sit there eating popcorn, thinking like I'm Samoa Joe, seeing Roman get his ass whooped and be like, I told you were going to get whooped. Didn't I tell you? Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to kick your ass next week too. I hope you win, but I hope you get your ass whooped. I don't really care. I want both of you guys to lose. You know what? Fuck you guys. I'm Samoa Joe. I'm going to eat your babies.
I'm waiting for Samoa Joe. Exactly. Like Samoa Joe's going to tell Roman, he's like, I told you you're going to get whooped. Then he's going to tell Brock, all right, Brock, now I'm going to show you how to whoop his ass. Make Brock look bad.
But then again, he's on SmackDown, so how does that work out?
Hey, they can pull something like, hey, we contractually have the Universal Champion on Raw, so let's bring Samoa Joe back to Raw.
And that is one of those weird-ass things I was talking about at the beginning of the show where it's like convoluted because who's on SmackDown? How's it going to happen at Backlash? Who's on Raw? This and that. This is the one time that I'm like, yeah, I want that, and I don't care who's on what brand, whatever, make it fucking happen. So, I don't know.
Who do you have winning this match?
Brock. all of that shit I said is my fantasy world. My realistic prediction, Brock's just gone.
All that does is prove our zeros.
I know it does. Wrestling's a funny thing. What about you,
Jack? I don't care.
No one wins.
No. Nicholas.
I got a hot take for you.
According to Jinder Mahal. Jesus Christ, that was a bad joke.
50-man Royal Rumble. I am at a zero for two main – one obvious reason, one not-so-obvious reason. Number one, we had two of these already this year. Pick your flavor. Number two, I would like for either one of you or someone in the chat room to tell me what the winner of this 50-man Rumble gets.
Momentum. You heard Daniel Bryan.
The key to Saudi Arabia.
Daniel Bryan said it himself. He's like, when I win this, I will have momentum going into Backlash. I'm like, okay. That's all you get. You get momentum, you get a nice little trophy, and I don't know, maybe 72 virgins after you die.
Do they use rupees in Saudi Arabia? How many rupees is he getting?
I don't know.
How many cobras, rattlesnakes? Turbans. I'm at a zero, dude. This is gonna be so long-winded, and they did enough surprises at the last Royal Rumble, even for the women, that I don't know. I don't even know how they're gonna keep this. How they're gonna keep me intrigued?
I guarantee you, everybody in all these other undercard matches that we talked about, they're all pulling double duty. They're all pulling double duty. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Fuck.
It seems rather inconsequential. It really does. I don't know what this is for. It seems superfluous.
So what if they started with the Royal Rumble?
This is where this being a glorified house show is, again, coming to light. This feels like a glorified house show, but also feels like a pay-per-view, depending on some aspects. But 50-man greatest Royal Rumble ever, and it sounds like that whenever the Saudis, whenever the Saudis first approached WWE, they were like, "Well, I'm just throwing all kinds of money around. You know what? I want the biggest one ever." And like, well, the biggest we ever had was 40. I want 50. Okay, here you go.
Okay, this was just I didn't watch the 40-man. I think that was the year I just got back into wrestling.
Okay,
you said it wasn't good.
He said it wasn't good.
You told me it wasn't good.
I didn't mind it.
You told me it was too much.
I didn't know you back then.
No, no. I'm talking about 7 years ago when I first started, and you told me about it because Del Rio won it, I think.
Del Rio did.
And you were like, yeah, it went on kind of long, and then that was it.
Why do you care about his opinion? This is the favorite match of yours of all the time.
I'm letting y'all speak, and I'm about to fucking nut all over this fucking
Go, nut. Okay.
Go. Bust your nuts.
I'm at a fucking 10.
Okay.
Because I love 50 Turtles wrestling. I'm gonna fucking mark out for a Royal Rumble. I love Royal Rumbles. Now that's gonna mean it isn't. Yeah, I love that they pointed out there at different intervals that people are gonna come in. So it's not gonna be a minute and a half per fucking minute. So it's not
or
gonna
2 minutes.
Yeah, it's not gonna do. It probably be like 30 seconds each. Probably, dude. Because come on,
yeah,
50 fucking guys. That means everyone minimum has to be there for an hour if they go by.
And that entrance wrap is gonna be huge.
They're gonna be helicoptered in.
They have like teleport shit over there. It's like Wakanda where they have like special fucking technology. Well,
I mean, so anyway, I'm excited just because it's a fucking Royal Rumble, and just because for that hour or so, you suspend all kind of fucking, oh, well, this and that, and Meltzer said this and that. Fuck that. I'm having fun, and I'm watching people get tossed over the fucking belt, fucking buckle, ropes, whatever. And what I love about Rumble is that you get the occasional call-ups, you get the occasional, hey, fucking Brother Love, or some stupid coming, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or whatever. Some randoms are going to come out.
Yeah. Man.
So
in January. We're in April, and they busted their load already. I don't think they're going to have any. Ray Mysterio, that's it.
There's always another load to bust. That's something I've learned. True.
It takes about 15 minutes, so you can go. You can always go again.
It's been 3 months.
Hey, it's April 27th, about a week and a half after a pretty big day. You know what's going to be coming for everybody?
Rusev Day?
IRS, for those people who didn't file their fucking taxes.
Oh,
IRS is going to come be a participant in the Royal Rumble.
Are you calling your shot?
And he's going to fucking...
he's going to eliminate Bo.
I was going to say Bray Wyatt, but yeah, Bo's fine.
He eliminates both of them. He eliminates Bo and Bray.
Oh, yeah, he gives him a citation.
That fucking shyster.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm going to say just because I love Royal Rumbles, dude. It's inconsequential. It's
can you pick a winner?
No.
No, Daniel Price can pick a winner.
Yes.
Here's what he says. Roman triumphantly enters at number 50. No sells everyone in the ring. Superman punches all the infidels and restores peace to Allah. And Allah rewards him with 72 slightly semi-used virgins.
Oh, man.
Allah Akbar. God damn you.
Aloha, Snackbar.
Jericho.
Why not?
Jinder Mahal.
You know what? He called his shot, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan.
Overall, the entire thing.
You know what? Did I give my number for the 8? It's still a Rumble.
Yes.
That's the one thing that I'm on board with Arnold about. It's still a fucking Royal Rumble. I get it that they busted some loads, but it doesn't mean that we can't have new surprises.
You know like what? Arnold said. This is just a little bit out there. Just to piss off Chris, they should bring back another WCW staple later on this year, World War III. Another fucking Battle Royal. World War III.
I was going to say they should have done World War III there, but yeah, in Saudi.
A SmackDown ring and a Raw ring? Imagine that shit. An NXT ring, a SmackDown ring, and a Raw ring. That shit writes itself.
Bray hits IRS with Sister Abigail and becomes the eater of tax evasion.
Overall score for the whole thing?
8.
8. I'm really intrigued by it. I'm really excited to see it. Parts of it on my lunch break Friday, but really just sit down Friday night to watch it.
That word is the correct word to use. Intrigued.
Intrigued.
Because this is a little bit different than anything else we've ever seen. The closest thing you could compare it to is the Beast in the East fucking pay-per-view special.
Which no one gave a shit about.
No one gave a shit about it, but it's still kind of, like, it has this weird-ass vibe where it's part house show, part pay-per-view, but it's somewhere where they've never, ever been before, and, you know, what's the crowd really going to be like? Because I remember what I was talking about last week. Oh, it might be a bunch of marks because all the marks in the area are going to show. No, it's not. I was wrong on this because I was seeing a thing that, like, this is by invite, and they're wanting families, like man, women, child, or children, all up in the front row because they want to show all the diversity.
Front row negative is still going to be in the front, oh, yeah, front row.
Fucking Simon still be up there somehow. But like, okay, is this going to be like this weird respectful kind of thing because it's all like the wholesome families and this is just like a political thing for Saudi Arabia? Or they're going to be like a bunch of marks behind the families going, hey, fuck you, Roman, or like, what's going to happen? Like, I don't know. There's so many weird things because this is different.
Honestly, and I hate to be the one to say it, but my breath is being held for some kind of fucked up shit to happen this weekend over there. Just,
oh, you mean like,
yeah,
like shit. Tragic shit,
yeah. Like Toronto shit,
yeah,
like fucking, yeah,
yeah, like some fucked up shit. You know what I mean?
Man,
my anticipation for the whole thing is about a 3.
Okay.
And the biggest reason, if this would have happened on Sunday at 11 in the morning, if this would have happened on Saturday at 11 in the morning, Friday. Like the main reason,
yeah,
but here's the biggest issue.
You spoiled ass American. They're having a decent time for them.
But here's the reality. The reason we like watching pay-per-views is because they're live. Yeah. If we can't watch them live, if I've already seen the results on Facebook, because you know damn well as much as we try to avoid
that, doesn't stop you with Wrestle Kingdom bullshit.
No, I stay up for Wrestle Kingdom because I'm not at work. I'm at work. I can't do this. So if I'm not watching it live and I already got the results, then I can't do anything about it.
See,
so
with me,
if fast forwarding and all that stuff is like, yeah, I'm gonna have to cut a lot of that stuff so I can't watch everything. If it was in the middle of the night where I can find a way to stay up and do it, it's one thing. But if it's literally happening while I'm at work, then I can't watch it live. And if I can't watch it live, a lot of the intrigue is gone. How much awesome is a live Monday Night Raw compared to a tape?
Yeah.
A lot of the allure is that you're watching it live in the moment as it happens. And if you're not watching it live in the moment, some of that's gone.
I'm gonna take a vacation day.
Nah. So that's it.
Holy shit. Woo!
Well, that's the whole pay-per-view. Did we miss anything between Raw and SmackDown that we did not cover on here?
Daniel Price says, I'll give it a third of a Ty Dillinger, 3.3. There will be marks from surrounding Arab nations flying in for it. Yeah, he's right. They'll remove some of the cheering and chanting.
Yeah, maybe if you really want, Braun winning this will be fucking awesome. Showing his fucking American-ass dominance over there. Big-ass American flag on his butt.
Goddamn.
I wonder if there's a wrestler on the roster that the Saudis will legitimately hate just because there's a quality that wrestler has that Saudis don't.
Tyler Breeze.
I wonder if there's a wrestler that the Saudis will legitimately love.
That's a good example. Tyler.
Tyler Breeze?
Yeah. Like, he's flaming. Like, you think the Saudis are going to like a character like that?
Oh, hate. I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe. Gold Dust.
Oh, that was Ziggler? He's really full of himself? Those American flags on his pants.
Yeah. But who's somebody that they'll love? I mean, it's not like fucking Iron Shinko get in there.
I would just say the racism he says like Jinder Mahal and Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, but I mean, Jinder, he's supposed to be Indian.
Sami Zayn.
Oh,
he's generally Syrian. Loved.
He's Syrian.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
That's close enough.
Maybe Kevin Owens by proxy? Maybe.
Maybe.
Tyler Breeze will be taken captive and put into a harem.
On that note.
All right. This Saturday, if you don't have enough wrestling, DZW will have an event. So come on out. We will be there 7 o'clock Saturday evening, 1812 Avenue. Yes. Oh, come on out there. I don't know when the next ROW show is.
I
don't know.
Next week is our Greatest Royal Rumble post-show slash Backlash pre-show.
God damn. Ooh,
fuck.
Okay.
Are y'all ready for that?
I hope
are we going to start on time next week? Are y'all going to eat like at 5, 5.30?
Yeah, if Abel doesn't poison me next week, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Tonight was a wild.
Wow.
It'd be funny if the salmonella and the chicken didn't affect him, but the salt goes in his blood.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.